Hi, Kathy.
Hi, Anne. What a pleasure to be with you again. I'm just really grateful that you're helping me be accountable to health, but to learning about health. Obviously, I need that right now in my life. So anyway, Anne, thank you.
You're welcome. I need to ask all the listeners, Kathy, about their homework. Hopefully, they've been following along every week and they've been getting their homework done. One of the things that we did this week was track our body temperatures. I know that was a little bit more difficult. You had to get to the store and get a thermometer and then get home and actually remember to use it. It was a bit of a learning curve when I first started learning that many years ago now, but I hope you had some fun with that. I also hope that some of our listeners are continuing to keep a food diary and a symptom diary. I'm sorry there was so much reading on the website, but I want to remind all of you that that website is not going anywhere. So if you didn't have time this week, it's okay. It took me a long time to read through it all, too. So it's going to be there for any time you have questions. Now, about the temperatures. Kathy, I had fun with this week. I think I'd mentioned on last week's show, I said that I stayed up too late. Remember that? A couple nights in a row, actually.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, my head was so foggy. And, you know, a few days after the show, I was starting to really feel yucky. I said something to my husband. I said, oh, I feel awful. What could possibly be wrong? And then I remembered, Anne, take your temperature. So I did. I had so much fun with it. The first time I took it was early in the morning for several days in a row over this weekend. And it says that my thyroid is perfectly fine. Praise God. But I took it during the day, and it said that my adrenal glands got worn out. And I said, you know, why would they be so worn out? Oh, no, I stayed up too late. And I know it was so neat to be able to see it right in front of my eyes and to have some proof that I had done damage. So anyway, I just hope that someone else had some fun with that too. Okay, Kathy, I'm sure that last week was a little bit frustrating. We introduced some problems that can happen in our bodies when we don't digest our food properly. But we didn't offer very many solutions, did we?
Well, I know I mentioned last week that it was a little overwhelming. Just wanted to clarify that. I was thinking about what I was eating, and I was thinking about how I was eating, and I know that I chew my food. Well, I don't even chew my food, I don't think. I just eat way too quickly. And now I know that that's not good, that the enzymes really need me to chew slowly. So I was thinking about that, and I know I mentioned the gallbladder. I was kind of thinking about that. You know, how does that affect all this that's happening within my body? And then I started thinking about when my appendix burst about, oh, I don't know, what, a year and a half ago, I think it was. And I started thinking about, you know, it was a really stressful time, and did that play into it? Was that where they dumped all this toxins? Did my body dump all the toxins into my appendix? Is that what caused it to burst? And so I don't know. You know, I was overwhelmed because I was thinking about all these things, and actually I know that there's solutions. I know that I know with God and what He's revealed to you that all of this will you know, I will learn. I will learn throughout the week, so I will be patient. So saying all that, I am really ready for today.
Yay. Yes, Kathy, again, for all our listeners, we're going to, in week 7 and a little bit in week 8, we're going to go back and address some of those specific questions. But so hang in there. You're being a good sport, putting up with all how long I'm taking to get to the answer. Well, today we're going to talk about what good nutrition looks like. We're going to begin to get practical. Yay! All right, so we're going to review again. Kathy, what are God's 2 food laws? Do you remember?
I know this one. Okay.
Okay.
Eat green plants and keep your blood clean.
Good, good. You know, I think I actually have, I hope I have that, don't have a typo on the handout. Eat green plants. I said not eat green grass. I guess we need to eat more than just grass. But, yes, eat green plants.
I can actually remember doing that as a child because it was kind of fun to chew on grass. You know, when you're outside and it's summertime and not a lot of grass, just one blade or so, you know what I mean?
Smart
and eat green plants.
Eat green plants, okay. God's first law is found in Genesis 1, 29 and 30. And for those of you that maybe didn't get to listen to our first class, it says in Genesis 1, 29 and 30, then God said, I give you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the whole earth and every tree that has fruit with seed in it. They will be yours for food. And to all the beasts of the earth and all the birds of the air and all the creatures that move on the ground, everything that has the breath of life in it, I give every green plant for food. And it was so. So, yes, He gave us every green plant for food. Now, specifically, these green plants contain seeds and fruit with seeds, and it says that all the animals and the birds ate green plants as well, and we'll see later in Genesis that the animals that continued to eat green plants after the fall, rather than eating other animals that contained blood, these were declared clean by God, and they were also appropriate for our food. This happened at the time of Noah, and you can find that in your Bible in Genesis chapter 9. So, I want you to notice something. In Genesis 1:30, for those of you that, I guess you don't have it in front of you, but it says everything that has the breath of life in it. That was the definition of the things that needed to eat green plants. Now, scientists have been trying to figure out a good definition for life for a long time, especially now that they've taken God out of the picture. What is life? How do we just know that a kitten is alive, say, but a rock is not? Or how can we tell the difference between a live kitten and a kitten that has died? I know that's a silly illustration, but we had a kitty not too long ago that died. And, you know, I was thinking about that. How do I just know by looking at that cat that it has died? Now, one common definition of life is that an organism can grow, it can reproduce, it can adapt to its environment. Scientists recognize that there is a force that is inside living things that enables it to grow, to reproduce, to adapt, to simply exist. So what is that force? This verse in Genesis, yeah, you try to think about that for a second. How do scientists explain that without God in the picture?
Wow.
This verse in Genesis says that living things contain the breath of life. And later in Genesis 2:7, it says that God breathed the breath of life into Adam also. So if we're trying to explain a life force, this breath of existence that makes up growing things, from green herbs to trees to birds to humanity, we would have to somewhere include the concept of enzymes, and that's what we're going to talk about today. Now, your handout contains a scientific working definition for enzymes, and it's just about as easy to explain as life is. I'm being sarcastic there, but okay, there's my definition. Enzymes, specific proteins that are properties of all living cells and are catalysts for biochemical reactions. Clear as mud, huh?
Yeah, absolutely. Can you break that down for us?
Absolutely. Yeah, I feel like I'm in 10th grade science class or something. Okay, we know that enzymes are proteins, although if you want to get technical, you're going to find some enzymes that are not exactly proteins. But for our purpose today, okay, that'll work. Now, we find that they are properties of all living cells, and in fact, we know that they even live inside dead animals and decaying plants. So, but for our purpose today, they are properties of all living cells. Finally, they are catalysts for biochemical reactions. Now, what is a catalyst? Kathy, I don't like big words, and this definition is full of them. But when I see the word catalyst, I like to substitute the word bridge. So anytime you see that from now on, a catalyst is a bridge.
Okay.
If I need a reaction to take place down in my cells, the enzyme is going to serve as a bridge to make that reaction happen. Now, this is, again, a very shallow definition. I'm trying to explain an incredibly complex sequence of events, but it'll work for us today. Okay,
a bridge.
Let me summarize this in Anne's words. All right, an enzyme is a protein that lives inside all living cells, and it works as a bridge for all the reactions that will happen inside the cell. If it weren't there, the living cell would just stop being alive. All right, is that still clear as mud?
It helps.
It's a little better, huh? Let's get more specific. Okay, the first point on your handout says, enzymes cannot be explained merely by chemical properties. This is so cool, Kathy. Kathy, would you be willing to read the verse that's printed on our handout, Colossians 1, 16 and 17?
Sure. Okay, Colossians 1, 16 through 17. For by him were all things created, that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible. All things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist.
Isn't that amazing? Mm-hmm. He is what holds us all together. Obviously,
wow.
I cannot explain enzymes very well, can I? I'm doing a terrible job of it. But neither can our nation's top enzyme researchers. That makes me feel so much better. I've read several really thick books on enzymes. I just have a thing for collecting books on enzymes. My husband thinks I'm crazy. You know, one time we found in the parking lot of a department store in a college university, it was a university city, and out in the parking lot was a shopping cart full of textbooks that someone was throwing away, and there were so many enzyme ones in there. What a gift. But anyway, I'm so strange. I picked them all up, and I've been having fun reading them. And those poor authors, seriously, PhDs, experts that have been studying it all their lives, they are no better at explaining how they exist and sustain life than I am. But God's word is clear. By Him, by Jesus Christ, all things exist. Isn't it great to have the answer?
It's awesome. Absolutely.
All right, Kathy, read another verse for me. John 1, verses 1 through 3.
Okay, it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through Him all things were made. Without Him nothing was made that has been made."
Amen. Mm-hmm. Scientists are going to try to tell you, in their attempts to define enzymes, that they are far more than just chemical processes. In fact, they contain a life force. It's a breath of life, and they cannot explain it in mere scientific terms. However, point 2 on your handout, it shows us that just because enzymes are powerful doesn't mean we can extract them from the physical world that God made and bottle them up or insert them into a pill and sell them and magically get them to impart life. I think this is really key. When God created living things, he created plants, fruits, seeds, herbs. He deposited into each one all of the things needed for us to absorb the nutrition that we would need from them. Wow. I really hope we can get this. Proper nutrition is like a three-legged stool, and you'll see a picture of one of those on your handout. In order for a stool to keep from collapsing when you sit on it, it has to have all of its legs, doesn't it? In the case of proper nutrition, the three legs are 1, vitamins, 2, minerals, and 3, enzymes. You have to have all 3 of those things or you can't absorb it. Now, if anyone is missing, you cannot digest your food properly. Now, most of our lives, we've been hearing about the importance of vitamins and even minerals, yet we cannot, let's say we take vitamin D, for instance, mm-hmm. and we need lots of vitamin D in our diet. We've heard in the wintertime, like right now, you need vitamin D so that you don't get depressed. We go to the store and we pop a vitamin D capsule. However, if you do that and you don't have the presence of what they call cofactors, for instance, the vitamins and the minerals, I'm sorry, the minerals and the enzymes that go with that vitamin, you simply can't absorb it. Think about calcium. I know a lot of women that take calcium supplements. Again, if you don't have the cofactors that go with the calcium, you can't absorb it. And think about the money that we spend on supplements, maybe from our local department store. Hoping to save money, we go and we spend a little bit buying supplements. But if we don't also eat at the same time the vitamins and the minerals that are needed to absorb them, it's just passing through our body and goes right into the toilet. All that money is gone. Isn't that amazing?
That's really key to understand that. So if I understand you right, if you mm-hmm. Happen to take a supplement, that's really important that you also need to take, let's see here, is it the minerals or the vitamins? Well, it depends on what kind of supplement you're taking.
So if you're taking a vitamin, you have to have the enzymes and the minerals. If you take a mineral, you have to have the vitamins and the enzymes.
Sure.
If you take an enzyme, you have to have the vitamins and you have to have all 3. And, you know, that gets complicated, doesn't it? How do you know which one to take?
Yeah.
Which is why I say go back to what we call whole foods. Take the whole food in the form that God created it, and you don't have to worry about all the science involved. You know that God created it exactly as you need it. All right. Enzymes. Here's another important part. Enzymes are deactivated if you heat them above the temperature. Okay, here, get scientific on you. 118 degrees Fahrenheit. Okay.
Exactly, huh?
Yeah, exactly. Now, think about food processing. Whether you're processing food in your own kitchen, cooking, that's food processing, or think about in a huge commercial plant, they're manufacturing food on an assembly line. Very few foods have any enzymes left in them after they have heated them and chopped them and diced them and compressed them and freeze-dried them. Anyway, one of the neatest things about God's creation is that foods and liquids at 117 degrees, if you touch them with your finger, you won't feel any pain because your finger has enzymes in it too. But at 118 degrees, if you touch it, you're going to go, ouch, and maybe that's when you burn your tongue when you put it in your mouth. And so what a handy way for you to know if a food you're eating still has any enzymes in it. If it burns you, uh-oh, you did it. You deactivated them all. I want to talk about milk for a second. Milk is extremely rich in all of the legs of the stool. It has vitamins, minerals, and enzymes. Yet if you pasteurize the milk, pasteurizing means to heat it to a high enough temperature that it destroys all the enzymes in it. In fact, that's how they test to know if they've sufficiently pasteurized it, because they check for enzymes. Okay, no enzymes. Good, we pasteurized it sufficiently. However, once they do that, now you can't absorb any of the vitamins and the minerals in it. And in fact, they add more vitamin D to it, take out the fat. That's, you know, now we've got skim milk. They totally modify this perfect food that God created. It doesn't resemble anything like what he made. And now we can't even absorb, you know, the label says it has vitamins and minerals, but we can't get them.
I'm assuming that it's the milk that you're talking about that we probably would buy at a store that's been pasteurized.
Right.
But yeah. I grew up on a farm. And
okay.
we had one milk cow, and my mom, bless her heart, never taught us girls how to milk the cow, but she'd always milk it, and she would always just filter it and then put it in the refrigerator, and that was our milk. I mean, we lived off of milk and cream and butter and cottage cheese and all that wonderful
good
stuff.
Yeah.
So I'm hearing you say that milk, because it was, mom never heated it, I mean, unless she was, you know, making something, pudding or whatever,
sure.
but mom never heated it then. So I'm hearing you say that milk would have the vitamins, the minerals, and the enzymes that God intended for us to have. Is that
absolutely
correct?
Okay. You nailed it. That is a miracle food. That's what I call milk, miracle food. In fact, there's an author that I mentioned last week. His name is Henry Beeler, and he's written a book called Food is Your Best Medicine. He tells of many stories of people that were on their deathbed, and he fed them only milk, only raw milk, never heated, fresh from the farm, full of all of the enzymes and vitamins, because he went out of his way to find cows that were eating green grass. And people would be brought back to complete health within a short time. I'm talking days, not long.
Oh.
And that was all they did, was drink milk. It's so cool. In fact, Kathy, I've mentioned I have Addison's disease, and for me, I wasn't planning to tell this, but I read that in Henry Beeler's book, and several times when I was quite sick, I would go 2 or 3 days and just drink plain raw milk from a farm, and wow, it works. It's amazing how it brings you energy and strength just because of the enzymes and the vitamins and the minerals. Nothing to it. No, it was cheap. Can't get any cheaper than that. So. Now,
it talks about going into the promised land, a land of honey and milk, milk and honey.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Well, let's think about honey for a second. Honey, just straight out of the honeycomb. If you were brave enough to go in with all the honeybees and pull it out, or if you can find it at your local store and it says raw, unheated, then that honey, think of those bees. They're getting all the vitamins and the minerals from all the flowers and things that are growing in your area. If you have allergies to, say, like pollen or hay fever, and you eat that honey, you get like a tiny little vaccination as you're eating it. And it has all the enzymes. In fact, honey has enzymes in it that digest whole wheat, which is one of the most difficult things for us to digest. And you spread that on a big slice of yummy bread with some good raw butter full of enzymes, and you put that on there, you are eating the best supplement. You cannot buy a supplement that is as good as that. And how simple is that? Provided by God.
Wow.
So cool. I could go on and on. all right. Well, I better keep on track. I'm going to talk more about these foods, though, in the coming weeks. So I get really excited about this stuff. It's so easy to do. But anyway, when an enzyme is heated, it's denatured. I want you to remember that word, denatured, taken out of nature the way God created it. Maybe we should say decreated. I don't know. But in effect, what that means is that it changes its shape. Now, I want you to remember that, because on your handout, you have a picture of a key. That key is to remind you that an enzyme must have the correct shape if it's going to be a catalyst or a bridge for all the changes in your cells. Once you heat them, you've denatured them, they change shape. Now your body says, what is this that you're eating? I don't recognize it. It's a foreign substance, a toxin. And your body says, whoa, I've got to get rid of it. And it sends out a huge, I can't think of the word, a whole bunch of soldiers coming out against this toxin, and they are going to rid it out of your body. We call this an autoimmune response. And the symptoms are multiple, various. You cannot... It just depends on where in your body that all of these toxins settle as to what symptoms come out of this. It is probably Well, as we said last week, most scientists believe it's the cause of most all diseases. Now, this is one of the reasons I strongly advise against using, say, a whey protein powder. A lot of us have heard that for bodybuilding or for strength exercise training, we need to take a whey protein powder. Now, whey, naturally, is a wonderful and miraculous substance. We're going to learn in the next few weeks how to make it in your own kitchen. It's a byproduct of cheese, yogurt making, lots of different things. But when whey is processed in a factory into powder under very high heat, its enzymes are denatured. So, yes, it contains a lot of protein, but these proteins are now foreign substances, toxins in our bodies. So, wow, we think we're getting such a health food, and we pay a lot of money for it, and it's, in fact, a toxin. The principle out of this whole section is that we cannot duplicate in a factory and mass produce what God intended for us to receive simply by going out into his creation. This is an important principle. We've got to keep this in mind. There are no shortcuts to good nutrition, and there are no miracle cures in a bottle or a pill. And boy, that point we're there will save you a lot of money, won't it?
Mm-hmm.
Now, one final point about enzymes. As you're going to see, point number 4 on your outline, we can manufacture enzymes in our own bodies. And this is really the only reason we stay alive after eating so bad for so many years, because our bodies also have the ability to manufacture enzymes. Now, our body's enzymes have two main types, digestive and metabolic. Now, let's define these a little bit. First of all, digestive enzymes. There are about 22 different kinds of digestive enzymes. No way today I could ever go into all of them, but if you do a little bit of research on the internet, you will find lists of them, and you can. It's really neat, I think, unless you're weird like me. Now, most of these are manufactured in our pancreas. Last week, we learned that our food begins to be digested in the upper part of our stomach, and as this partially digested food then leaves the stomach and begins to enter into the upper part of your small intestine, glands secrete all of these digestive enzymes, and they act as bridges, catalysts, to good digestion. Now, so quite simply, all you have to remember are digestive enzymes made in your pancreas, digested as your food starts to work its way through the digestive system. Pretty easy. Now, the other class of enzymes manufactured in inside our bodies is metabolic enzymes. Now, think we know the word metabolism. We say, I have a slow metabolism. Basically, metabolism is basically all of your cells and all of the processes that they do, okay? This involves your breathing, thinking, moving, sleeping, talking, laughing, your immune system, reproduction, emotions. I mean, every single thing that makes up your life, that is your metabolism. And when we say your metabolism has slowed down, it's basically saying, sorry, you can't repair yourself as well as you used to. You can't think very fast. You can't show love as well as you used to. You can't control your emotions. All of these things happen when we start, well, I'm getting ahead of myself, when we wear out our metabolic enzymes. Okay, there is even a type of metabolic enzyme, I love this, that neutralizes the toxins in your body. It gets rid of all the pollutants and the cancer-causing cells, and it changes them into a less toxic substance that the body is then able to eliminate. God is amazing. He has provided within our bodies everything we need to survive, even when we mess up. It's so cool. Kathy, would you read another scripture verse for us?
Sure.
I'm going to give you a second to find it. Psalm 139:13-15. I just wanted to also mention there are more metabolic enzymes in your body than any other kind, and God has provided everything. Okay, I'll be quiet and let you read.
That's awesome. Okay, Psalms 139:13-15. You created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in a secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth.
Isn't that amazing? The Bible says right there, he knit us together. Those are enzymes. Or we were woven together. Those are those catalysts, being all of those things that started to work. I mean, otherwise we'd just be a blob of cells, but that breath of life, that force, scientists say, is God himself working and weaving us together in our mother's wombs. Now, Kathy, as amazing as our bodies are, if we eat a diet that is composed entirely of cooked and processed foods, you can see that obviously this is going to put a huge strain on our pancreas. Mm-hmm. It's as if our pancreas is like a bank account, and we use up our reserves, so to speak, and then we bounce a check because we've run low on enzymes, you know, on our reserves. I'd like to quote from an author, the late Dr. Edward Howell. I really love his book on enzymes the most of any of them, and it's called Enzyme Nutrition. And he is the foremost expert in the field of enzyme research. There is no other that has done as much work as he has. And he states that when the pancreas and other digestive enzymes become depleted and overworked, here's the quote, the result is a shortened lifespan, illness, and a lowered resistance to stress of all types. He points out that humans and animals on a diet comprised largely of cooked food have enlarged pancreas organs, like they started to swell from, like we would if we constantly banged our arm on something. The pancreas swells, and all the other glands and organs, notably the brain, they shrink in size. Isn't that amazing?
Yes.
Now, Dr. Howell explains there is a rule of nature, and he calls it his enzyme nutrition rule, and I'm going to put it in my own words. This rule states that the slower an organism's enzyme potential is depleted, in other words, the longer he can keep his enzymes working, the longer he will live. Common sense. Makes so much sense once we just know it exists. And that is why God's first nutrition rule is eat green plants. Or said another way, eat plenty of enzymes so that your own body's resources don't become depleted. He provides all our needs. Now, whole foods, that just means eat the whole thing just like God made it. They give us good health. Enzyme-rich foods provide limitless energy. In fact, think how long people lived before the flood. You know, 900 years.
Yeah.
Wow. Think of what you could accomplish.
That.
Yeah. I know. Think of what we could accomplish today if the men that were alive 900 years ago were still contributing to the fields of science and all these other things. Just think about that. It blows my mind. Okay. Kathy, I'm going to have a quiz time.
Okay.
All right.
Well,
what are the three legs of our nutritional stool? What three things must be present in our diet if we want to absorb all the nutrition that's in our food?
Okay, I can vitamins,
yes,
minerals, and enzymes.
Yay, good job. Okay, all right, at what temperature are enzymes destroyed?
Oh, that was that very exact number, 118.
118, very good, very good. I don't know too many of us that go around measuring all our foods. So if you don't have a thermometer handy, how can you tell if your food has enzymes in it?
Oh, is it, let's see, how can you tell if it does not or does?
It'll
burn you. You'll burn your tongue or burn your finger if it's too hot.
Good. Very good.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, this next question, Kathy, is on the handout. Everyone can see it. What happens if your food cannot be digested?
Oh, it's going to cause a foreign substance or a toxin, and it's going to send it somewhere. If it can't eliminate it, it's going to dump it somewhere.
Excellent. Very good. Okay. This brings us to page number 2 on our handout. God's second food law, and that is keep your blood clean. It's so important. We discussed this in much more detail during our first two classes, so we're just going to quickly review toxins this week. I'm not going to get into it. You can always go back and hear that again, but you can see on your handout that if you have toxins in your bloodstream, it's called toxemia. That's what a doctor would call it, or simply blood poisoning. Okay? Unfortunately, we don't usually think about the condition of our blood until after a gland or organ has been damaged, and then we go, oh, no. Oh, we start to think in terms of whatever organ was hurt. Let's say blood poisoning harms the kidneys. We call that high blood pressure. Never call it toxemia, do we? Blood poisoning that harms the lungs, we might call it COPD or asthma or, boy, just a cold. Blood poisoning that harms the heart, we call heart disease. In fact, though, all disease has its roots in the same place, and that is toxemia. So, Kathy, I have to ask you another question.
Okay.
Let's say I have a symptom, and I want to take some drugs that will treat that symptom. Does that really solve the problem, do you think?
No. Not after what I've been learning from you. I would say that by taking a drug for something, let's say a headache or whatever, would just be like a Band-Aid. It would just be covering it up when actually there is a deeper problem, a deeper root problem going on. And most likely, well, the body is trying to get rid of a toxin. So your blood's not clean, I would say. But anyway,
absolutely.
So no, it does not. It just covers it up. It's a Band-Aid.
Absolutely. So, all right, in review, if we want to have good health, we should eat only the things that God created as food, and all other things are toxins and should be avoided. It's as simple as that, sort of. Okay, so as you can see on the bottom of page 2, before every bite, ask 2 questions. Boy, if I can get you to drum this in your head, remembering it at Christmas and when you're eating junk food. And anyway, 2 questions. First of all, 1, will this nourish my body? Or 2, will this poison my body? Just as simple as that.
You know, Anne, I wish I had those questions this weekend. Do we have time for me to share a story?
Yes, go ahead.
Okay. Well, this weekend was a Valentine banquet at church. And prior to that, I need to back up a little bit. My daughter, she's down in college at Honor Academy, and she was going through a fasting retreat, really seeking God on what he wants in her life. And so I had joined her with that. I wanted to pray with her about that too. And so I had fasted earlier, right before the banquet. And then I went to the banquet that night, and I had already planned on eating at the banquet. And it was a feast, and it was... It had a really nice salad. You'd be really proud of the salad. I mean, it had a little enzymes on that, and I'm sure, and a lot of vitamins and minerals too. A lot of green plants. But then we had we also had ham balls and potato casserole and some yummy green beans that were fixed. Really yummy. And anyway, I ate a lot. I was really full, really stuffed, and I was within probably 30 minutes. I was violently sick. I mean, I was in the bathroom and you know, diarrhea, and I thought I was going to throw up, and I was miserable, and it happened 3 times, just 3 attacks, one after another. And I know, I mean, what little I know, obviously, coming off of a fast, it's not good to eat a big meal, but I haven't had pork for probably 9 months because once
wow.
I had started learning about how it's an unclean food, I had chosen not to eat it, and that was probably the first time I've had it in that quantity for a long time. And so I don't know. I mean, I'm sure it's a combination of both, and I'm sure you could explain it a lot more than I can, but I do know that obviously my body was saying, no, this doesn't belong in here, and I'm rejecting it really quick-like because it was immediate.
Yeah. I was going to say, Kathy, that means that, well, first of all, after a fast, your blood tends to be much cleaner because you've had no food coming in for several days or however long their fast was, and yet all those enzymes, the metabolic enzymes in your body have been working to clean out your blood, no new toxins coming in, so obviously your blood is much cleaner. But then your body has gotten used to how much cleaner it has been since you haven't been eating pork, and all of a sudden you ingest a huge amount of it, and it's much more efficient in cleaning it out. And cleaning out toxins is not necessarily a fun process.
No,
so that's why you're in the bathroom. but it is a neat sign, Kathy, that you are much healthier than you used to be because it cleaned it out so quickly. Isn't that neat that your body
so that's a good sign.
Yes, that's a good sign. Not fun, but a real good sign.
Okay.
And also good motivation to not do it again.
Yes, I do not want to do that again. I will ask myself. No, I probably will not. I don't want to do it again. But those are 2 great questions to ask. Will it nourish my body or will this poison my body? So.
All right, so now, Kathy, okay, class is over. You know how to eat. We're going home now. That won't work. Okay, sorry. Now, we've just spent 3 weeks telling you about all the problems in our diet, and next week we're going to warn you about even more things. We need to get practical somewhere, don't we? You're going to get really discouraged if I don't start telling you some simple ways you can change your diet and how to improve your health. So when I was really sick a few years ago, I read a lot of books on nutrition, and I began to get overwhelmed by all the information I needed to remember. Now, I found a website. I love this website. It's the Weston A. Price Foundation. I don't agree with 100% of everything they say, but probably 95%, and I just love them to pieces. And they had a list of things that a healthy lifestyle consists of, and I printed it out and posted it on my refrigerator, and it was such a help to me because I'd go in there every day. I'd want to open up the refrigerator door and get something, and it'd say, no, that's not part of a healthy lifestyle. And it just started to change my thinking. Everything that I did in a day mattered, and I needed to know that, and that impacted my health. And so I have put this on page 3 of your handout. I hope everyone has already downloaded this from the website. It's so good, and we're going to go through it point by point and just take the remainder of our time today. The first thing, a healthy lifestyle consists of being hydrated, getting enough to drink, adequate intake of liquids that quench my thirst and improve digestion. Now, that does not necessarily mean just water. Now, isn't that radical? Most people will tell you, drink gallons of water. Okay, first of all, you'll see that this list is in no particular order. We've been told all our lives, though, that we need to drink lots and lots of water every day. Yeah. I heard one guy say 2 gallons of water a day is what I needed for my weight. And I went, oh, I'm going to be in the bathroom constantly. I know. In fact, water is important, and I'm not going to say that it's not, but we need to remember water. We know this from science class. It's just two simple hydrogen molecules and an oxygen molecule, H2O. That's all it is. It might contain minerals if they're in our certain water supply or we've bought bottled water that contains it. But without enzymes, it's just flushed right back out of our body through the kidneys. And sometimes if I drink 2 gallons of water in a day, that would put quite a strain on my kidneys to get all. It's too much. It's not what my body needs. Now, a good rule of thumb is to drink water to thirst. I've heard some people say that thirst is a late sign of dehydration, but I don't know. I don't buy it. And this is only true in a body that has a poor metabolism. And we're going to work towards getting all of you a really good metabolism. And God has given our bodies, yeah, you're getting there. God has given our bodies a miraculous sense of what they need. And if we listen to our bodies, they will tell you when you need to drink. And when you're thirsty, you need a drink. And it's just as simple as that. Now, I like adding like freshly squeezed lemon or lime to my water because that adds enzymes and adds more too, adds vitamins and minerals. So easy. There's a really good step for all of the listeners today. You can go out and get fresh lemons and limes and squeeze them into your water. There you go. You've already made a big improvement. Another way is to find fresh milk. We talked about that earlier. Go to a local farm. If you don't know where to get milk, you can find some resources on my website this week. Really great resources that will help you hopefully find some in your area. You're looking for milk that has not been pasteurized or homogenized, and you want some cows that get to eat real green grass out in real sunshine and real fresh air like God intended them, not in a factory. And that's a great way to quench your thirst and heal your body at the same time. Another idea would be smoothies. I love smoothies, and I have some recipes again on my website. They are delicious, and you can add enzymes to them and really increase the enzyme content of your whole day. You're going to love the recipes online this week. You can go to annshealthplace.com and just simple ways to start out and increase the enzyme content of your fluid intake. And guess what? It tastes better than just drinking water. So I love that. Okay, the second point on your handout is colon health. It says there, foods that promote good digestion, such as properly prepared grains, gelatin-rich stocks, fresh herbs, foods containing enzymes, and probiotics. Now, there's a lot of probably unfamiliar words there. We need to keep our colon, our small intestine, mostly our large intestine, and our entire digestive system in good health. And we do this by eating foods that promote good digestion. Now, we've been told to eat a diet high in whole grains and fiber. So many of us have rushed to the health food store and we buy expensive and somewhat yucky tasting bread. And we go for whole grain pasta rather than white. We go for whole brown rice instead of white rice. We increase our intake of nuts and seeds. We eat whole grain breakfast cereals. Now, having done all that, I'm going to now tell you that that wasn't the best thing to do. I want you to think about a seed for a second and remember that Genesis mentions the seeds. Wheat and oats, they come from seeds, of course. All of these seeds contain enzyme inhibitors. These are little substances that are placed inside of them by God so that they don't sprout before their time. Now, I think of a little bird coming along and he wants a seed. God wanted that seed to sprout and grow into a new plant. That bird eats the seed and now the plant can't grow. So God has put inside that seed an enzyme inhibitor that keeps it from being digested, and it'll be passed right out of the system of that little bird so that it can grow into the plant God wanted it to be. So if we want to get to the enzymes inside of it, we have to deactivate them first. Now, not by heating it. First of all, I will tell you in a second. We're going to sprout them, but we'll tell you how. But anyway, if we don't deactivate those enzyme inhibitors, we can't get to the nutrition inside the seed. And in fact, seeds are like little baby plants. And just like any baby, they're just packed with nutrition because that baby's got a lot of growing to do. So they're fabulous foods, and scientists will all tell you this, but they don't tell you that you need to prepare them properly and get that enzyme inhibitor out of there. And if you don't, they're incredibly difficult to digest. They cause numerous digestive problems like gas, that's a simple one, bloating, food allergies, colitis, irritable bowel syndrome. I've been hearing an increase of people that are getting several sections of their colon removed, and almost always it could have been avoided if they had just known how to properly prepare all of these seeds. Now, I'm just going to introduce the idea today because this is a big topic, but your homework for tonight is going to teach you a little about how this is done, and it's going to give you lots of ideas. And in future weeks, we're going to go back to this subject, and we're going to talk about how to do it in your own kitchen and how to find time for all of this crazy, weird stuff I'm talking about in your busy schedule. So hang in there. All right, next, I have on there gelatin-rich stocks. That's talking about soup. Soup is wonderful. And making homemade soup from the bones of animals, like chicken bones and cow bones and fish bones, it's another way to ease your digestion. Okay, I just got done saying we can't cook anything above 118 degrees, and I just said make soup, right? So that's not making sense. I thought cooking destroys enzymes. Okay, it does, but when you boil the mineral-rich chicken and cow and fish bones, it makes a really delicious stock. And you combine this with the enzymes in the food that you eat, it has healing properties inside of it, and it goes into your digestive tract. Remember that carpet we talked about last week, how our small intestine is like a gigantic carpet with little bits of shag rug sticking up. And when we eat bad, the toxins destroy bits of that carpet. It's like our carpet has holes in it, and we can't digest food in those places. But the gelatin inside a stock comes along and heals those places, and it rebuilds your health.
Wow.
Isn't that cool? Chicken soup is called Jewish penicillin, and it's for good reason. Everybody knows when you're sick, chicken soup. I have to tell you, Campbell's chicken soup doesn't bear much resemblance to what I'm talking about. But homemade in your own kitchen is fabulous stuff, and your homework, again, tells you how to do this. And I just hope you have a chance to look at it all. It's really cool stuff. Okay, there's a lot more I could say, and there are way more ideas for you on in the homework section on my website. I wanted to mention, though, one more. Fresh herbs, they are wonderful. They strengthen your digestive tract because they contain all three legs of the stool, enzymes, vitamins, and minerals. They're so fabulous, and you can grow them right in your own garden, even on your windowsill if you're like me and you're not very good at growing things. Just start with something simple like onions and garlic and thyme and basil and cilantro. I mean, they smell wonderful. That's a really good sign that they are good for you. They are loaded with enzymes. In fact, they have everything you need right inside. They're like a little package of healing. God calls them healing herbs in the Bible, and he says they are to be our food. They smell good. They taste good. They look good. They're just such a delight. So that's something that you could start right away. If you don't have a place to grow them, I know it's February, so go to your local grocery store and buy the fresh ones that are in the produce section, and that's a great place to get started. Okay.
And the herbs. One quick question. So with the herbs, do you need to wait like towards the very end of your cooking process before you put them in so they don't actually get to the 118 degrees, or is that something?
Good point. Now, there are benefits to cooking some of our vegetables, and we will talk about that. I don't know if we're going to have time today, but maybe at another session. I will talk about it. But there are benefits to both. So I say get fresh herbs and make sure you're eating at least something at every meal that has enzymes in it. Even if there are other things, say our chicken stock. I like to put thyme and parsley in my chicken stock. It really adds a lot of flavor and gives a lot of minerals, but it takes time to cook the minerals out. So obviously the enzymes are destroyed when I do that. Mm-hmm. But at the same meal, maybe I would have with my soup a salad that contains some fresh enzymes. Does that make sense? So you're kind of combining all of this on your entire meal and not necessarily every single item. So that's a good question. I promise to come back to that one. Okay. Then the next thing on your handout is enzymes. And we've been talking about them, but it says next to that, fermented foods, raw foods, fresh and non-irradiated herbs. Okay, fermented foods. That sounds a little yucky, doesn't it?
Absolutely.
I want to just to get in your mind, what is a fermented food? Basically, one that we would all recognize is wine. Vinegar is a fermented food. A cheese is a fermented food. How about sauerkraut? Pickles. We all love pickles. Traditionally, those were all fermented. Sourdough bread, that's another fermented food. So now that I'm naming some foods, it doesn't sound quite so gross.
No, it doesn't remind me of the green, you know, the green foods that grow.
Yes, no, we're not talking about experiments in the back of the refrigerator. I have those too. Actually, they are fermented, but the kind of fermentation might not taste so good. But anyway, fermentation happens anytime that the enzymes within a food start to react with each other and they start to change the food into something new and better. In other words, they increase the vitamin and mineral content, especially the vitamin content. So when you allow your food to undergo the enzyme reactions before you eat it, so we're not talking about just the 30 minutes that it sits in your stomach or the little bit of time that it's in your mouth while you chew. I'm talking about adding a couple days to the enzyme reaction time. And now that you've done that, wow, you've really increased the vitamin content. Now you eat it. Boy, magic happens. We'll talk more about how to do that. But what I want to talk about what it tastes like. All those foods I said, I love sourdough bread. I love cheese. I love adding like exotic vinegars and things like that to my food. Cheese, I already said that one. I love it. It's just fabulous. I got to travel in France for a while and eat some of the real authentic European cheeses. Boy, just can't. It's just gourmet. But the reason they taste so good is fermentation provides your taste bud with that little pizzazz. Modern processed foods try to put flavorings and chemicals in the food to get that fabulous flavor. That's the flavor everyone craves. Pregnant women crave these foods too. And you know, when you're pregnant and you just got to have it at 11 o'clock at night, that's because you know, your body knows that it needs something. It needs a nutrient. It needs this. It needs that. And so you start to crave foods that have it in it. It's really easy to learn to make these foods at home rather than depending on the chemicals and the flavorings that are artificial. They're not really supplying the nutrients that you're craving. So your homework, again, is going to give you lots of ideas, and we're going to talk about this a whole lot in the fifth health class. We're going to talk about ancient methods of food preparation, and I think you're going to love that one. Okay, you have on your handout, we have medications, and it says none, if possible, because they are toxins. They are Band-Aids. They are not getting rid of the root cause of a problem. Obviously, if a listener is on a medication, it doesn't mean you should just throw your pills out, because your body has become dependent, usually, on that medication, and you need to research and talk to your doctor before just going off of a medication. But tuck in the back of your mind, long-term goal, no medications. That's where we want to get you. Okay, next one. Oh, about that. We're going to talk about that more in week 7. So if there's a listener that has a specific question, we'll come back to that one. Okay, vitamins and minerals. They need to be, as we learned earlier, in whole food forms. They need to have all their natural cofactors so that you can digest them. So if you're spending a lot of money on vitamins and minerals right now, go look at your bottle and say, what's in the ingredient list? Does it list a food that you could eat if you went out and picked it, you know, in a garden? If not, if it's just a bunch of words that you can't even pronounce, chemicals and things that you have no idea what they are, I've never heard of them, then you're probably not getting the cofactors and you're wasting your money. So I just wanted to point that out. On my website, again, I have some companies that I trust, but I don't use a lot of supplements. I depend on mostly my food. Okay, clean diet. We mentioned this before. Foods made by God and declared clean by Him. So that pork and oysters and lobsters and shellfish and catfish, all that, probably better stay away from it. Then we have exercise. Oh, exercise. this is movement, stretching, and strength training, and this part's important, that mimics hard work. Before the fall of man, God intended for them to work. And it says in Genesis 2:15, the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it. So when you mimic hard work, okay, maybe you live in the city and you don't have a Garden of Eden to tend, or you don't have a farm, and you say, I don't know what I could do that would mimic hard work. Aerobics is great, but it really doesn't mimic hard work. It's an artificial thing. So if you're just starting with exercise, I recommend getting outside, walking, lifting and carrying things. helping out with cleaning, all of those things that are hard work when you pant and get up a good sweat and are lifting and heaving and pushing and shoving. That is exercise that really does your body good. On my website, I recommend two companies that have exercise programs that you can purchase DVDs and so on from them, and they will mimic hard work if you can't think of any other way to get exercise. One of them is called Pace, and the other one is called Praise Moves, and I love that one especially. She has a really neat way of incorporating scripture into your exercise time, but those resources are on my website. Okay, we have sunshine. We need adequate exposure to the sun and light. And now think of how Satan tries to deceive us, and he says, stay out of the sunshine. It causes skin cancer. And God says, no, I created the sun to nourish your body. Now, the two times if you're just getting started needing more sunshine, and again, I know this is winter and our sun is limited, especially where I live in Minnesota. But first thing in the morning on a sunny day, get up when the sun is coming up and go outside and look straight towards it and allow that sunshine to come into your retina of your eyes and allow that to go in. It sets off a chemical reaction in your brain, in your pineal glands, your hypothalamus, and your pituitary, and it resets your metabolism. And it's such an easy thing to do. Simply get up when the sun is up and look at it and allow the sun to come in. That's an easy change.
Wow.
Another thing is go out at noon when the sun is the hottest and the brightest and spend about 20 minutes outside. No sunscreen. Get that stuff off your face. Get it off your arms. Allow the sun to actually get into your cells. Such a simple change again, and kind of the opposite of what we've always been taught. Okay. The next thing is sleep. Oh, this is the one I did that on last week. But we need to rest when it's dark outside, and we need to be up and working when it's light out. And then we need one day off each week that we can just completely put our feet up and get the rest that God designed for us. And he talks about that in the very first few verses of Genesis chapter 2. And when I say that, I take an entire day each week, usually the day before I rest, and I prepare twice as much food, and I get my cleaning especially well done. And so that when nighttime comes, I'm resting. I rest all that night, and the next day I put my feet up and I really rest. And boy, by the end of that day, I feel so much more refreshed. And if we would just rest and give our bodies a chance, like you did when you fasted, give our bodies a chance to clean out the toxins and to recover our mental abilities even, mm-hmm. we would feel so much better. I think you do that too, don't you? I know you take a day each week.
Yeah, I do, and I wouldn't trade it for anything. I can't say enough about it. I look forward to it, and I know that it's the reason that I can get up the next day after that and get going again on a busy week. So, but in these times where we're called to serve, and maybe you can't have the whole day to rest, but
right.
God honors whatever rest you do take. I mean, he certainly does.
Yes, it sure does. The last thing on there I'm just going to touch on because we've talked on the other times. I'm talking quite a bit today.
That's okay. It's all great stuff.
All right. Destructive behaviors, sinful attitudes and actions that we don't like to recognize in ourselves. We can look around at everybody else and say, they are such a worrier. But when you look at yourself, you go, I'm not a worrier, not as much as they are. And I'd like to recommend a book. It's called A More Excellent Way, Be in Health by Pastor Henry Wright. And don't have to remember that. It's on my website. But he spends an entire book talking about the health problems that are caused by sin and anger, bitterness, worry, all of that. It's just a great book. I can't recommend it enough. So, Kathy, I'm just about out of time. I'm so sorry. If I have a listener that has a question, please feel free to email me, and I will do my best to address it in one of our classes. I'd be happy to get your questions. After today's class, you have some homework to do. So visit annshealthplace.com to find today's handout and several reading assignments. These articles contain way more information than I can ever fit when I talk this much into the one-hour show. We've got lots of amazing information about enzymes and how God created your body. In fact, these articles today are written by non-Christians, so they're not even going to recognize God, but I want you as you read to go, wow, what a great God we have. These homework assignments are where I want you to start. Plus, I can't wait to introduce you to the Weston A. Price Foundation. They have some amazing research on nutrition. I'm hoping I'm making you curious. so that you're going to want to head over to the website. Plus, I've got a free guide for you to download. It's called Simple Ideas, and it's just that. It's simple things you can start this week. Now, there are probably too many ideas. No human being is expected to do all of them this week. But again, I'm hoping to whet your appetite and open your eyes to a new and amazing way to eat that tastes good and is good for you. Next week, we're going to learn about SAD, the standard American diet. I like to call it also SAD, Satan's awful diet. Because if God's word has answers for our health, then Satan is sure to be out to get us and hinder us. And God's word says that the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. And I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. So we need to learn to identify how Satan wants to steal our health and kill and destroy our families. So we're going to look at a huge list of health-destroying food choices. We're going to get really specific so that when you go to the grocery store, you will not be deceived by Satan into ruining your health. We're going to learn some obstacles to making good choices. But even better, we're going to find out what the good choices are. We're going to make it as practical as we can. It's as if we're going to be visiting a grocery store. Kathy, thank you for joining me today.
Oh, Anne, what a pleasure. Thank you so much. I'm really looking forward to next week.
Good. All right. Well, I am too. Kathy and I got to go through a grocery store together, and I'm hoping that we can pass this information on to all of you. Okay. Well, this has been Anne Elliott from AnnsHealthPlace.com, and thank you so much to everyone for listening today.